only sameness. For the sake of completeness, and to show the utterly paradoxical character of the quantum realm, I should mention that there is also an alternative theoretical perspective in physics which is diametrically opposed to the no-sameness point of view. This other point of view is a coherent explanation for the universe as we perceive it that has its own self-consistent internal logic, claiming that the entire universe is the seamless manifestation of a singular, indivisible field. From this point of view, seeing the universe as a singularity, the universe is never divided, for all division is only apparent division, and everything is simply an expression of a radical sameness. From this perspective, all quantum entities are expressions of this universal sameness. We could call this perspective only sameness, and it provides a complementary perspective to that of no sameness. One of the things that makes quantum entities such as electrons different from everyday objects is their indistinguishability. Specifically, there are absolutely no intrinsic features by which we can distinguish one electron from another, which is to say that every electron is the same as every other. Wheeler and Feynman came up with a radical idea why electrons are utterly indistinguishable. Because according to their out-there hypothesis, there is only one electron in the whole universe. According to their theory, this one electron weaves backward and forward in time, like a thread going back and forth through a tapestry. We see the multitude of places where the thread goes through the fabric of the tapestry and mistakenly attribute each to a separate electron. Their idea seems in alignment with the only sameness point of view. This implies that the appearance of innumerable separate electrons is an illusion caused by the structure of space-time. This perspective would say that each new emergence of a quantum entity is actually a reoccurrence of the same quantum entity in a different guise. The question naturally arises, which perspective is true, no sameness or only sameness? They both provide a satisfactory, coherent, and self-consistent description of the observable universe within their particular framework. They are complementary perspectives that, when taken together, add depth and give us a fuller appreciation of the deeper, undivided wholeness of the universe. Instead of thinking that the paradoxical nature of our situation is illogical, this point of view embraces the apparent contradiction and synthesizes the opposites into a higher unity rather than simply affirming one or the other in a way that is perfectly parallel to the complementarity of the wave-particle duality. This could be called the no-sameness, only-sameness duality. To be able to hold and embrace this paradoxical and seemingly contradictory point of view involves a higher form of logic that, instead of using an either-slash-or mode of thinking, demands a both-slash-and mode of thinking. This form of thinking is a reflection of the deeper wholeness that quantum physics is revealing, a wholeness that is fundamental to the universe and intrinsically exists within us. Whirlpools. A whirlpool, or vortex in a river, has a definite location in space and time, and yet it has no independent existence separate from the river that generates and supports it. The whirlpool is constantly being recreated, refreshing itself moment by moment, taking on a self-perpetuating pattern that persists over time. A local property or concentration of the underlying field, it is as if the whirlpool, whose substance is never the same, is continually dying and being reborn every moment. The water flowing through the whirlpool is constantly new and ever-changing, but the self-reinforcing pattern of the whirlpool remains the same. The apparent entity of the whirlpool is abstracted from the underlying flowing movement, arising and vanishing with the total process of the flow. Baum refers to such seemingly self-existing entities as whirlpools that exist embedded within a larger process, relatively autonomous subtotalities. Speaking of the nature of these phenomena, Baum writes, "Such transitory subsistence as may be possessed by these abstracted forms implies only a relative independence or autonomy of behavior, rather than absolutely independent existence as ultimate substances." The relative autonomy and seeming stability of the whirlpool is not because of its separateness, but derives from the whole motion of the underlying river, which is to say that the part, that is, the whirlpool, implicates the whole. It should be pointed out that another example of a relatively autonomous subtotality that we take for existing independently is the idea of our very selves. Like whirlpools arising out of the underlying river, we arise out of the highly energetic and dynamic quantum plenum of space. It is easy to look at the relatively autonomous and seemingly stable form of the whirlpool and think that it has an independent existence. In actuality, there is no such self-existing entity as a whirlpool. It is but an aspect and expression of the whole. It is impossible to determine where the whirlpool ends and the river begins. To say that one whirlpool is separated from another by the water between them is a metaphoric way of talking which has some usefulness, but we should be careful not to entrance ourselves into thinking that we are dealing with two separate entities. Because each seemingly separate whirlpool is indistinguishable from the same river, each whirlpool is ultimately indistinguishable and inseparable from one another. In the words of mathematician Norbert Wiener, we are but whirlpools in a river of ever-flowing water. We are not stuff that abides, but patterns that perpetuate themselves. This is reminiscent of Buckminster Fuller's description of a human being as what he referred to as a pattern integrity, by which he means that a person's self or identity is not a thing, but a continually created stable pattern that appears to exist over time. Embracing the notion of wholeness and non-separation doesn't eradicate or negate distinctions. There is a certain convenience and practical utility of thinking that there are two separate whirlpools. There is a mutual interdependence between the parts and the whole. Without parts, there can be no whole, and without a whole, it makes no sense to speak of parts. Without intimately understanding wholeness, it is easy, however, to confound the relationships between parts and whole. The key is to be able to hold both viewpoints at the same time, seeing the interconnected wholeness without losing sight of the distinctions. When viewed as separate, it is important to realize that the whirlpool is only relatively so, with a wholeness that derives from its inseparable connection to the larger whole in which it is contained. As Wiener reminds us, we are but whirlpools.